Good morning, everybody. This summer, while I have been gallivanting about the country, Andy has been preaching through the biblical theme of rest, the promise of rest that God has made to us and the command to rest that God has given us. And periodically through the summer, there have also been restimonies, which is a term that I take full credit for. And by credit, of course, I mean blame. This Sunday, as we sort of wrap up that summer study, in lieu of a sermon, myself and Brian and Janet are going to restify. I get credit for that one, too. So the most memorable experience of rest that I've had came 3 summers ago. We were in Colorado with the Eby's and a few other families that we Vanessa and I know from our time in North Carolina, in a town called Grand Lake for 3 days. And which Grand Lake, if you've not been, I recommend. One of the most beautiful natural settings for a town I've ever been in. But the rest really came down to being together for those 3 days. With people whom we love and trust, I didn't have to get to know because we already knew and were known by them so deeply. You know, and we did a variety of things. You know, cooking and cleaning together had to happen. It's right next to Rocky Mountain National Park, so we went on a couple of walks, which by nature of having so many small children with us had to take pace, at a sort of kid speed. You know, Tim and I couldn't engage in our favorite sport of competitive hiking. It all had to be a mosey. It's much more restful. A number of the women there are wonderful musicians, and so we did a lot of just kind of sitting in the living room, singing hymns and praise songs together, praying for one another. Blessedly, the children all just kind of got along and preferred to be in the basement doing whatever they were doing for long stretches. So there was quiet and stillness. I don't think I'll ever forget it. It felt like a foretaste of heaven, which is basically what God means when he says, keep the Sabbath holy. Holy is heavenish. In spite of that experience, I went into this summer of rest, this sabbatical, assuming, not like thinking about or reasoning out, just assuming that resting well for me this summer meant tons of solitude. That I was going to need like multiple days each week to go on a hike by myself or sit quietly and read and pray by myself. And through a variety of circumstances, I got to do hardly any of that. I went on 0 solo hikes. I think I took a day and a half of quiet reading and praying, which irritated me and is, in retrospect, clearly God's work. Because I did get lots of rest, but it was all in community. It was going on a hike with my family and holding hands with my first graders on the way up the mountain, or spending a few days with a couple of the other pastors who were there in Colorado, who I had sort of grown up in ministry together. Or for Vanessa's birthday, having dinner on a mountaintop with two other families who are very dear to us. All of these experiences of rest, all of them in fellowship. And that, because I'm, a little thick-headed, seemed like the Holy Spirit driving into my brain the lesson that he made perfectly plain 3 years ago in Colorado. Which is that the fullness of biblical rest will take place together. We will feast in the house of Zion. We will sing with our hearts restored. He has done great things. We will say together. We will feast and weep no more. And that's what I hope that God has now thoroughly taught me. In this summer sabbatical, is to not assume that I have to be off by myself on the mountaintop to be at rest, to be living in anticipation of heaven, but that the best of holiness will be in community. So I'm testifying to that, and I'm giving you all permission to check in with me. Because if you know me, you know it'll probably take me about an hour before early this afternoon I'm back to thinking, I just need to be off by myself. So that's my testimony. And now I believe Brian is coming up next. Oh, Janet. Brian and Janet are going to arm wrestle for the privilege of going third. You place your bets.
Good morning. Good morning. I spent the last 2 weeks thinking about this thing, and I sent Andy a note that said, well, you know, maybe I'd like to do a testimony, and he said, well, let's meet, and I thought, well, that's a little scary. You know, they want to check my work before I actually stand up in front of people, which means that Zach probably said something to Andy about, for crying out loud, don't give Brian a microphone, because we don't know what will happen. So Andy and I met, and I told him what I thought I would like to talk about, and he said, because I was a little concerned that, you know, what my world of rest is going to make any difference to this congregation, because my rest, I feel like, is something pretty out of the ordinary. But after listening to everybody else's testimony about singing with your family or swimming, or in Nancy's case, wherever Nancy's here somewhere, she has a drawer with a box in it with stuff that gives her rest. I thought, well, I'll give this a try. So I spent the last couple of weeks, and last week in particular, trying to do some research on rest. And that's like trying to figure out why ants build nests and all of those things, because the research told me about rest nothing that helped. And there's conflict in what the Bible says. If you read the Old Testament, Exodus and all that, it talks about biblical rest and Sabbaths and all those kinds of things. And the last thing I read said something of the order of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And, it wasn't working. So I sat down and I started scripting this thing out. And I woke up this morning and threw it out the door. Because I woke up this morning with what I knew was going to be a tough day for me. And everything that I had written was going to sound like scripted, probably. And it wasn't going to be from the heart. Today is 9/11. 21 years ago today, 343 of my brothers and sisters died when the Twin Towers fell. And I didn't think it was going to affect me. It hasn't quite as much for years. But it pains me. And I still, when I woke up this morning, decided I have not had rest from that. And the last couple of years in my life has been pretty restless. And I need rest from that. And rest for me comes in a variety of different ways. But what I learned out of this, and I've learned from those of you that have spoken, that for me, and maybe for you, rest is about finding sanctuary. We are in a sanctuary. There's a definition for sanctuary, but just because we're in a sanctuary, this isn't the only place that we come for rest. And others have spoken about that. I've come to this place since the early 60s, and I knew this was a sanctuary, But until fairly recently, I never really thought about what that all meant. It was just the name for the place that we came to worship. And I've spoken about faith and all of that business in the past. And this has always been a sanctuary for me. When I came here after I was suddenly single more than a decade ago, it took me a while, as many of you know, to walk into the room. But I, by default, by maybe the Holy Spirit pushing on me a little bit, I showed up at the doorstep of a place that is a sanctuary. Now, most of you know or would guess that I have a raging case of ADD. And I don't take medication very often unless I need to do my taxes and really concentrate on something. ADD has a short definition that fits kind of the parameters of how my brain works. It makes for great air traffic controllers, pilots, police officers, and firefighters. And so the definition, the short definition is, from confusion comes calm, and from calm comes confusion. Light a city block on fire, and all of my green switches go on, and all the meters read 110%, and I look at it and go, gosh, that's kind of cool. We probably should do something about that. And I can stand fairly calmly, think through RECIO, which is old school these days, but rescue, exposures, confinement. You don't know the rest of this? Well, anyway, it's all about the process that you go through. I mean, rescue is number one. Keeping the building next door from burning down is number two. Putting out the fire is number three, and it goes down the list till you go back and make sure that it doesn't reignite, because that's really embarrassing. They call it a rekindle, and nobody wants that in their history. So I find calm from confusion. Do not put me in a quiet room. I will go crazy. And I didn't realize for years the reason the television set was on all day long was a diversion for my brain to occupy it. I wake up in the middle of the night now that I am alone again, and I turn on the radio. I don't turn on music because music doesn't divert my brain. I turn on a comedy channel, which you would think would keep me awake, but the conversations occupy my brain and I can go back to sleep. My brain operates kind of like a really busy city where all the cars are my thought and there are no stop signs, which means that there are collisions and nobody gets to their destination, which means that if I have a project to do, I will sit around for months. Used to drive the fire chiefs crazy. I'll sit around for months before I'll work on an assignment, and only when it becomes an emergency, like a city block on fire, do I go to work, usually about 3 days before something is supposed to be due. They have medication for this. Yeah. So everybody needs a sanctuary. Something, somewhere that they can go to find peace. And for me, it requires something that keeps my mind occupied and busy so that I can take a thought and focus on that. ADD people are really good at obsessing. They call it hyper-focusing, but it's obsessing on something. I did this with my ancestry. I went nuts 24 hours a day on Ancestry.com and every place on Google I could find until I got tired of it, and then I was done. That's hyper-focusing. So what the heck does this mean with rest? I'm talking about confusion. What it means for me is to stay busy, to find a way to come into God's presence, or conversely, to have God's presence come to me. Now, while I was in the midst of all this brain jargon going on in my head, it reminded me of a song that was sung in a gospel choir that was started by Gordon Chernlin, and I actually ended up directing for a couple of years after he went on. It's a tune called "I Just Came Into His Presence." And I'm just going to read the lyrics. It's only two verses and a chorus, so it won't lock. I mean, you know, we're usually out of here in another hour, so Janet, you're going to have a lot of time to fill. So the tune goes like this. I just came into his presence, and my feet are standing on the hallowed ground. Seems I'm close enough to touch him, and my heart can hear him speak without a sound. Something whispers, stand beside me. Let his glory fill the temple through and through. I just came into his presence in the holy place with Jesus. Alleluia. And the chorus is quite simple. It's Alleluia, Alleluia. I just came into his presence. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. I just came into his presence. Alleluia. The second verse. I just came into his presence, and I sense 1,000 angels hovering near, and my soul cannot contain the sound of glory hallelujahs that I hear. And the brightness of his face excels the brightness of the stars in magnitude. I just came into his presence in the holy place with Jesus, alleluia. So to find rest for me requires me to be quiet, because I cannot be in God's presence with the confusion that goes on in my head. It's just too much. It's more than I can handle. So how do I do that? How do I find the sanctuary? Did I say something wrong already? Oh. he always scares me when he looks at me like that. I have to go do something. And I thought that was unusual for rest, because I've always heard about the Sabbath. I remember on my little paper route years ago that we were supposed to go out and you know, try and get more subscriptions. And I knocked on a door when I was 13 years old or so, and somebody answered the door, and there was this very large person sitting in a chair. And she seemed to be in command of the whole place, but she didn't answer the door. And I was asked what I wanted, and I was looking for subscriptions for the paper. And the woman overheard that, and she said, tell him to come back. This is my Sabbath. I can't make a decision right now. And I thought, how strange is that? At 13 years old, that seemed really lazy. And I didn't even understand what that meant at the time. I can tell you today, there is no way I could take Friday night to Saturday night off and just sit in a chair and call that rest. I would go crazy. It just doesn't work. So for me, my rest, my sanctuary is in doing something. I'll go on a hike, and I'll take my camera with me, and I'll try and take an image. And I have to be honest, I was a professional photographer as a sideline thing. I've shot over 200 weddings, and I can't take very many pictures of the outdoors, which is wonderful, because there is no way I have ever been able to convey in a photograph, or seldom in a photograph that I've taken, the beauty of God's creation that I see. But I find incredible sanctuary there. And just that beauty fills my head, creates a diversion to focus on where I can rest and I can be in God's presence. And from there, I can find great solitude, and my soul is filled. Now, most of you know what I've done all summer long. The wind is coming up this afternoon, so don't expect me to be anywhere else. I'll be about 40 miles south of here on my sailboat sailing. And there's a reason for that. And I didn't really think about it very much until last year, when somebody who is still very important to me, that got married on Friday, that's a story for a different day, had never sailed before, and there wasn't much wind, and so we kind of fiddled around working the boat,
And it wasn't very exciting until about an hour into the thing. And the wind came up a little bit, and the boat started to heel over onto its side, which kind of freaks out most people to think they're going to die. And apparently, I didn't look like that was going to happen, so there was some grace and thought there for her. And it came up, and she said, is it supposed to do this at some point when we'd heel over pretty good? And I just had a big old grin on my face. I said, oh, yeah, that's exactly what's supposed to happen. And about an hour after that, when the wind really perked up, she said, I have never seen you like this before. And we'd known each other at that time 8 years. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, I have never seen you so calm. Ever. Now, I've sailed a lot. My last biggest passage was 2,000 miles, basically from the San Juan Islands to Cabo San Lucas and then up to La Paz in a race called the Baja Haha with 153 boats, I think, and 602 sailors, and a group of people in the motorboats, which was called the No Comprende class. They just came along for the fun. I used to sail in the ocean in the middle of the winter, crossing the bar until the Coast Guard gave up trying to keep me in port, because I was a boat of size, and I knew those guys anyhow because I spent a lot of time with the Coast Guard Auxiliary. I would sail in 25-mile-an-hour winds and 20-foot seas by myself in the middle of winter and thought nothing of it. And the reason was is I felt great comfort in that. And people think, well, you know, don't you get afraid? And I said, heavens no, you're too busy staying alive to be afraid. But what I realize now is the same thing that I told my partner at the time. This is what I do. This is where I find peace. My brain, big seas, big wind, holding on to a boat in the middle, not the middle, I mean, you know, the very edge of the ocean, be hard to even find it in a picture of the ocean. But my brain became occupied with something that I love to do, that it released me into the ability to have my solitude, my sanctuary on God's ocean, another creation that is absolutely awesome. And I can relax, and I can again be in the presence of our Lord. Is that for everybody? No. I don't know how many people here, it seems like a lot, find the same kind of rest, biblical rest, scriptural rest, in the strangest places. The only other thing that brings me that kind of closeness is when I'm in trouble. And I don't mean dad's mad at me trouble. I mean something in the world has gone upside down, and I do my Tevye thing. How many people have seen Fiddler on the Roof or are familiar with Tevye? Dear Lord. You know, and I find myself in those moments because sanctuary and rest, oftentimes, at least for me, is not a planned event. Generally, I mean, going sailing takes a little bit of time, or putting the equipment in the car to go take photographs takes a little bit of time. But I find rest now, even though I've done this for years, I've found rest in being in the middle of a mess and just turning to God and saying, this is yours. I don't have control. Andy's talked about this last. He stole a lot of my thunder last week. I don't have control. I don't want to be in control. I give this to you. And that, these days especially, brings me an instant rest. So the only other thing that I just wanted to share, because I ran across this the other day, is humility. Humility, when you live a career where you are in command of something, you learn to live a life that you think you can do almost anything. Most of you that know me know I know how to do an awful lot of things, but that's the ADD brain at work. You just learn to do things, and then you move on to something else. Pretty soon, you're the Renaissance guy. But humility is a very difficult thing in the profession that I had, because being in control was what I was required to do. And I have spent the last 16 years since retirement trying to shed that, trying to have rest from that, because it's a responsibility I don't want anymore. It's not a responsibility that I think I'm entitled to and probably never have been. This is God's world. And I have control of nothing. My prayers are always, "Your will be done." I can pray for all I want. Only a couple of times have I had a hint that I was getting some help. That's kind of cool, actually. But my prayers always end, "Your will be done." And that's my best shot at humility. Well, the Queen died the other day. There's a left turn, right? I'm going to tie this to, yeah, squirrel. I'm going to try and tie this together. And the internet is, what? the internet is a blaze of things about the Queen. One of my favorite pictures of the Queen is when her late husband, who's only been gone for about a year and a half now, was awaiting the Queen's arrival back at Buckingham Palace. And by the way, she won't answer the door, even though the flag's flying. And he talked to one of the guards, and he thought it would be fun to do this and pulled it off quite well. It's a photograph of him dressed in one of the guards' uniforms in Buckingham Palace. And the picture was taken when she turns around and realizes that it's Philip standing there as a guard. Love that woman. Well, there was something going around. It's a quote from the Queen, it says. Well, it's really not from Queen Elizabeth II. It's Queen Elizabeth I that said this. I just wanted to share this today. It's a story about the Queen talking to a chaplain. It supposedly really happened this way. And the Queen said, "How I wish the Lord would come in my lifetime." And the chaplain apparently was somewhat confounded by that and said, "Why, Your Majesty, do you wish for that?" And she replied, and her whole countenance, it says here, lighted up with deep emotion. She said, "I would so love to lay my crown at his feet." And I just thought that that was awesome. So we're going to let Janet take up the rest of the... Yeah, well, you had your chance to leave it to me. So I just want to leave you with the thought that if you have the concerns that I had, that my rest isn't scriptural or biblical, what I get from what everybody said is that's not really true. You find rest in the Lord where you need to find rest. And the best way to do that, and for me, you will understand this is a bit of difficulty, is you just have to shut up and be quiet for a while. And that can mean cease an activity or find an activity that quiets you and be patient and wait, because God is always at your side. I just came into his presence. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to allow us to be together in this sanctuary. We know that you have control of our lives, that you have a master plan, and that you are always there. I just pray for this congregation, that we can take a moment at any time in our lives, and this congregation knows that you are there always. All we have to do is open ourselves up and take a moment of time and allow you to show us your presence, to give us the peace that you intended for us, and give us the rest that you have commanded us to have. Ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who died on a cross so that we may live in eternity at your side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've known each other too many years. Let's see, I have to decide whether I need my glasses on or not. No, I don't. I love to be up here to see who's here. My name is Janet Magadance, and I have been attending this church starting at the age of 19 in 1964. Shall I pause while you do the math? In spite of my best efforts, I am slowing down, which I'm equating with resting. After being a CPA for 32 years, I retired and launched a new career, full-time gardener at my one-acre property. Over the many years, I have added a variety of chairs, benches, and Adirondack chairs on the property, and I am now actually sitting in those chairs, and I'm resting. I mention these chairs because I'll address them a bit later. I have a simple faith, and it has been an absolute gift from God. I remember as a child attending an event at my church in Bowbells, North Dakota, the Evangelical United Brethren Church. I was sitting in the front row, eyes closed. The evangelist asked all that wanted to give their lives to Jesus to raise their hands, and I did. The only other thing I remember from that night was walking home, looking up at the sky, and knowing something had happened. The special blessing I received was the absolute, unshakable knowledge that Jesus was my Savior and friend. I've never had to agonize over whether I was good enough to earn salvation. Although I have certainly done things in my life that I regret, and after pondering and praying about those mistakes, they have brought me closer to my Lord, knowing His forgiveness was there, and I can rest in His presence. Because of my business background, I tend to be straightforward. Don't anybody laugh. And sequential, so I'll now list a few things I think are worthy of sharing. Number one, you can pray for people even if you don't know them. Here's what began working for me. A few years ago, I was at a restaurant with my friend Sherry, and the restaurant was close to I-5, and several truckers were eating there. Before leaving, I had to go to the bathroom, and while there, a lady trucker came in. She seemed a bit upset, so I asked her if she was okay. I don't remember what she shared, but before I could even consider whether I should or should not, I said to her, "May I pray for you?" She immediately began softly crying. So I wrapped my arms around this woman I did not know, and I began with the magic name, Jesus. I asked him to help and comfort her. After that, I walked back to the booth and thought, well, I'll be darned. I can't tell you how many times through the years my heart would begin beating like the Dickens, and I probably got a flushed face as I tried to gin up enough courage to pray for or with someone. That day, I followed the Nike logo, Just Do It. My prayer was short and sweet. This wasn't an essay. I was talking to Jesus about this lady, and he was listening. Number two, reading scripture. There have been good times and bad times. There have been times when reading scripture was pure drudgery and misery. I was doing it because that's what I was supposed to be doing, not because I wanted to spend time learning about Jesus, about being uplifted by the glorious poetry, or being told what to expect as I live my life in a fallen world. Several years ago, Lorraine Garrison was at the front of the church sharing something, and she ended by expressing her love for God's Word and encouraging us to be in His Word. I remember thinking, and I even remember where I was sitting, I remember thinking that I wanted that level of emotion when considering Bible reading, and the Holy Spirit was passing by, and He touched me. I'm telling you this because there's one or more people sitting in this sanctuary this morning thinking, I want to love God's Word like that. I want to pass the torch, so to speak, to you. About 5 or 6 months, this is number three. About 5 or 6 months ago, I began reading the book of John, and it took me probably 4 months to complete it. I was also reading The Message of John by Bruce Milne, which is part of the Bible Speaks Today series, edited by John Stott. Between that book and the pure joy I experienced in reading John, there were days when I got no further than a verse or two. Not a chapter or two, a verse or two. Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I probably spent hours just mulling over the pleasure John had in beginning his letter with the same words that were written to begin the story about God's great creation. And from my perspective, the humor the Holy Spirit had in inspiring those three words in the beginning. My purpose in sharing this is because I am encouraging you to slow down when reading scripture. Rest in the scripture. The Holy Spirit can share wonderful things with you if you are not in such a hurry. My challenge now, after listening to Andy the Elder last week sharing Isaiah 30, is I need to read the book of Isaiah, and it has 66 chapters. Now a confession. At some point in my life, I had determined that I would not die before Jesus returned. I have no memory when I began thinking this, but God finally logged in, and here's pretty much what He said to me. Who the hell do you think you are? I wanted to say, heck, but the truth is, that's not what I heard. After that, the Holy Spirit has worked with me, and I have figured out that I had considered myself the most special person. And Jesus wouldn't allow me to die. We've worked that out, and I must tell you that it's okay. I'm going to die. Not right now, but I will. Now back to the lawn chairs. I have two Adirondack chairs on the lower patio underneath the famous big maple tree. I frequently sit down there in the later afternoon with a glass of Cabernet and the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. During that time, I frequently just look up, looking up at the grass, and consider saying, Jesus, come for me. Yes, the tears come even down there because of the joy waiting for me. Number five. Last thought. I love music. I've played the piano since I was 5 years old. I can spend hours playing arrangements of hymns one after the other. However, I now play them more slowly because the music, both old and new hymns, is so beautiful. And the words are pure poetry and evoke wonderful feelings of closeness to God. I'm ending my presentation by playing My Jesus, I Love You, hymn number 364 in the hymnal. I'll play it through once to set the tempo, and you will then sing the first and the last verses of this beloved hymn. Nearly all of us know the words very well. As you sing them, well, you have to be of an age, Zach. As you sing them to the Lord and rest in the knowledge that you are loved.